To attempt to make a dash for it and flee in that direction was certain death. They looked up, fearfully, as Steiger and Tiro approached, then avoided Steiger's gaze like he had the plague. The guard detail straightened to attention. Steiger waved for them to relax. "Are they giving you any trouble?" Steiger asked, wrinkling his nose against the stench of smoke, which was stronger on this side of the camp. "No, sir," Legionary Karata said. "This bunch don't speak any common, but they understand pointing and such. Meek as lamb, sir. All fight's gone out of them." "I see," Steiger said, glancing the prisoners over. He was confident that, armed and armored, they had appeared intimidating enough. As prisoners, they seemed a wretched bunch. An agonized scream from the other side of the camp caused the prisoners to flinch. "Varys is doing his questioning of the prisoner who spoke common, sir," Tiro said. Steiger simply nodded, but noticed one of the prisoner's eyes flick toward Tiro. Steiger quickly glanced away. Perhaps there was more than one prisoner who spoke common. He thought on how he could best use this knowledge to his advantage as he looked over the growing fire just beyond the prisoners. It was spreading more rapidly than he had expected. Steiger understood it was nearly time to go, whether they had all of the supplies they needed or not. "We will leave in 10 minutes, Steiger told Tiro. "I don't think we can delay any further." The sergeant nodded his agreement. "What about the prisoners?" "What about them?" Steiger asked, eyes roving over the captives, before casually settling on the prisoner whom he suspected of speaking common. "We should kill him," Tiro said bluntly. The prisoner flinched. "Why not take them with us?" Steiger said. "We could turn them over to the garrison at Koramal. There's money in that." "We're going to Koramal," Tiro said, with no little amount of surprise. "It is the nearest garrison," Steiger said. Was it his imagination? Was the prisoner following their conversation? "We have to get word out about the Riven operating in this area. Then we can return to the Legion." "I see," Tiro said, with an unhappy air. "Taking this bunch along with us is dangerous, sir." "How so? The best they can hope for is slavery in a mine, where life is measured in weeks. They would be looking for any opportunity to escape," Tiro explained. "That could see one of our boys injured or worse. My recommendation would be to kill him, and do it now." Steiger took a deep breath and looked over the prisoners again. He noticed the prisoner he suspected of speaking common watching them covertly. When Steiger's eyes touched his, the man quickly looked away. What Tiro said made sense. However, Steiger had other plans. "There has been enough killing today. When we march," Steiger said, turning to face Tiro, "free them." "What?" Tiro was clearly surprised. "Sergeant, those are my orders," Steiger said firmly, almost harshly. "Now let's examine the work detail and see if things can be moved along." Steiger resisted the urge to see if the prisoner looked relieved at the news he and the others were to be spared, freed even. "Yes, sir." Tiro's tone was stiff and correct. The sergeant followed Steiger over to the mule train, where the work was moving along at a frantic pace. Most of the mules were loaded and waiting. "You realize they will spread word of us," Tiro said. "That is what I'm counting on," Steiger said, flashing a grin at the sergeant. "So," Tiro said, eyes narrowing, "we are not going to Koramal?" "No," Steiger said. "We are going back to the third. I'm fairly certain one of the prisoners back there speaks common." "A false trail, then," Tiro said, glancing back. "With luck, a little misdirection and this fire, we might be able to slip away." Steiger paused a moment. "We will march out to the east, more to avoid the fire than anything else, then turn south, skirt the valley, and then dogleg it northwest and back to the third. Thanks to the enemy, we now have a good map and sufficient supplies." "No offense intended, sir," Tiro said, chuckling. "But for a junior lieutenant, you are one devious bastard." "None taken," Steiger said, recognizing the sergeant's words as high praise. "Sir!" Varys came up at a run. The corporal looked pale as a ghost. "What?" Steiger asked, fearing the response. "The prisoner who spoke common," Varys said. "The one you had me question? He says there is an entire army, 20,000 strong, just 30 miles up the road. The enemy has a great big bloody second army. This company was the vanguard, and they are coming this way, sir." He was very sure of that. "We're just bad luck," Tiro said, glancing at Steiger. That settles it. Steiger felt his headache becoming worse. The enemy is trying to flank the legions. We must report this as soon as possible.
Sir,
Tiro said, the rest of the army is somewhere far to the northwest. Our legion is the only one near enough to respond, and when they do, the enemy will greatly outnumber what General Treem can put into the field.
I know,
Steiger said, blowing out a heavy breath. He glanced out at the fire again, and then up at the darkened sky. The glow from the blaze against the low-hanging clouds would likely be seen for miles, and the enemy had cavalry. Steiger judged it only 3 or 4 hours till dawn.
But it's all we've got.
Right then, it's time to go. We need to get out of this valley and into the forest as soon as possible.
What of the road to the south?
Tiro asked.
We would move faster on the road.
We have to avoid it, Steiger said. The enemy will clearly want to investigate this fire. They may even be on their way here now. Besides, we already know they have a cavalry. We stand a better chance of slipping away in the forest.
Tiro and Varus glanced nervously out into the darkness.
Form up for march, Steiger ordered curtly, and free the prisoners.
What of the one I interrogated?
Varus asked.
I think he knows more than he is telling.
Bring him with us, Steiger ordered. I want to know everything he knows.
Now, let's move.
Chapter 5
Steiger stifled a yawn with the back of his hand. His legs burned as he climbed with the company up the steep slope and out of the valley. Sweating from the effort, he rubbed at his eyes, irritated not only from lack of sleep, but the choking smoke that seemed to be everywhere. With each step, his armor weighed upon him terribly, and the higher he climbed, the more effort it took just to place one foot in front of the other.
Sergeant!
Steiger called as he reached the top of the ridge, seeing Tiro ahead, speaking to a legionary who had collapsed. Steiger took a step over the lip and was surprised as the smoke dissipated, almost as if an invisible force held it back, trapping it within the valley. Ash, however, still fell like snow. Sucking in the clean air in great gulps, his breathing labored from exertion, Steiger felt vast relief at completing the climb. He bent over, resting his hands on his knees, working to catch his breath.
Sergeant Tiro!
Sir!
Tiro turned to look and saw Steiger. The old veteran stumped over to him.
Once everyone's up, let's call a 20-minute break.
Steiger's throat was dry and irritated. He straightened and tried to cough out the residual smoke that stung his lungs. Tiro waited as Steiger glanced back through the trees and down the slope. His men, with mules interspersed amongst them, were struggling up the steep slope in a single-file line that disappeared into the early morning gloom, made worse by the smoke that swirled amidst the trees. Steiger turned his gaze along the rim of the darkened ridge before returning to Tiro.
A break, you say, sir?
That was a fearsome climb, Steiger said. 20 minutes rest. Focused on the task at hand, he paused. I think we will move farther into the trees and parallel the valley, traveling south a bit, before swinging west and then north. At least the ground will be somewhat flat, and it should be easier going.
Down yokes, rest easy,
Tiro called to the nearest men, before leaning over the edge and shouting down at those still climbing the moderately steep slope.
20 minutes break once you reach the top.
Those nearest who had already crested the ridge gratefully dropped their yokes and shields and settled to the ground with a chorus of groans.
Sir, we will have to cross that north-south road, Tiro said, turning back to Steiger.
Steiger looked through the trees, back down to the eastern end of the valley. The sun would be up soon. The sky was already beginning to brighten, the first streaks of crimson lacing clouds high above. Since there was little wind, smoke from the fire hung heavily on the valley below, like a burial shroud. Steiger could see an angry orange glow illuminating the smoke where the fire still burned. A larger, brighter radiance farther out into the valley was likely the fort's wooden barricade fully engulfed. A gentle gust of wind parted the smoke momentarily to the west. Long tongues of flame licked up high into the air before smoke closed back in. Steiger wondered if this meant that the trees near the valley's base had begun to burn.
What was that you said?
Steiger focused his attention back to the sergeant.
Sir, that north-south road. We're going to need to cross it,
Tiro said.
Yes, Steiger said.
He had a foul taste in his mouth.
Unhooking his canteen from his harness, he unstopped it and took a swig of warm water. He stopped it and returned the canteen back to his harness in a smooth, practiced motion. There is no avoiding it. The fire should keep the enemy out of the valley long enough for us to cross. We break for 20 minutes now, then push on. Once we are a few miles from the valley and deep into the forest farther to the west, we will take an extended stop. I believe the boys will appreciate that, Tiro said. His tone told Steiger the old sergeant disapproved. Very thoughtful, sir. Steiger felt his brows knit together. The sergeant looked back, innocently. Despite his weariness, Steiger had become thoroughly amused with the wily old veteran. He barked out a laugh, which turned into a hacking cough. Heads turned toward them. You think we should rest now? Steiger said when he had recovered. I take it. Aye, that I do, Tiro said. You said it yourself. That fire down there is likely to burn for a few more hours. It will keep anyone out of the valley. Sir, the boys are worn. They need an hour, maybe more. A little bit of shut-eye, and some food before continuing on, sir. There was almost a pleading note to Tiro's tone. Steiger glanced around. The men climbing the hill were clearly dragging. He could see it in their weary, ragged step. Those who reached the top stumbled forward a few paces and collapsed to the ground wherever there was room. He could even hear the first snores. Steiger rubbed at his jaw as he considered them, feeling the coarse layer of stubble threatening to become a beard. If we run into the enemy, Tiro continued, our boys may prove too blown to put up much of a fight. Steiger let out a long breath, not liking the idea of stopping for whatever reason. His sergeant's reasoning, however, was sound. Very well. We rest here. Do you think an hour and a half will be sufficient? Tiro gave a curt nod. Might I kindly make another suggestion? Do I have a choice? Steiger asked, and it came out almost as a groan. You are in command, sir, Tiro said with a straight face. As an officer, you always have a choice. Remember, sir, you are in charge. Steiger grunted, but inclined his head for the old sergeant to continue. Get some rest yourself, sir, Tiro said. Sleep like a babe. I will see a watch is set. Steiger nodded, feeling a wave of exhaustion threaten to overtake him. Until speaking to Tiro, he had not fully realized his own fatigue. Grit and determination were all that had kept him going. He glanced around, found a tree a few feet off that appeared suitable, and tromped over. Tortured and overstressed muscles protested vehemently as Steiger eased himself down amongst the brush and long grass. He placed his back comfortably against the trunk, letting out a soft sigh as the metal scraped slightly against the bark. With a chuckle, Steiger recalled how unpleasant it had been when he had first started wearing his armor. Had that been only 5 to 6 months ago? The leather straps had chafed his skin raw to the point where he bled. Now, just months later, the armor was like a second skin. After a long, hard day, it was always a relief to shed the heavy dead weight of the armor. Once off, Steiger never tired of marveling at feeling light as a feather. Removing his helmet, Steiger smiled at that thought as he leaned his head back against the rough bark of the tree. It would be nice to remove his armor. Unfortunately, there was no time for that. Besides, he was too tired to even try. Tiro had said rest, and so Steiger closed his eyes, welcoming sleep. Sir! A hand shook his shoulder. Steiger blinked several times, attempting to focus. Varys was bent over him, peering into his face. Corporal? Steiger cracked his neck as he straightened. It felt like he had just closed his eyes. It's been a little over an hour, sir, Varys said. There was a concerned note in his voice, which, despite Steiger's exhaustion, alerted him to possible trouble. Right, Steiger said, and held out a hand. Varys hauled him to his feet. Gods, Steiger moaned softly. I am really sore. I feel worse than after I practiced hand-to-hand with Tiro. Everything seems to ache. The corporal gave Steiger a grim smile and held out a small bundle wrapped in a towel. Steiger took it and unwrapped it, revealing a hunk of bread and a slice of cheese. Despite his concern for potential trouble, his stomach rumbled at the sight. Thank you, Steiger said. Courtesy of the Riven, sir, Barra said. Our thanks should go to them. A gust of cooler air from the hills blew into the valley, driving the thick, acrid smoke up, out, and through the trees. Steiger coughed, as did a number of others. In 30 heartbeats, the wind slackened and the air cleared. "I'd expected the fire to have died down a little," Steiger said, taking a bite of his bread and chewing slowly. "About that," Barris said, with a strained look that caused Steiger to pause mid-chew before completing the motion and swallowing. "The wind has picked up considerably. I think a storm is coming, but, well, it's not here yet. The fire has spread to the forest and is climbing up the ridge, sir." "What?" Steiger took several hasty steps and peered over the edge. He could see the orange flames 60 yards down the slope, smoke roiling skyward. He had no doubt the fire was climbing the slope, as Varys had said. Steiger's hands clenched into fists. "Well, isn't that just fantastic? Not only did I set the valley on fire, now I've started a forest fire." Varys stepped up next to him and jerked his head toward the fire. "Your first time, sir?" Steiger scrutinized his corporal, wondering if Varys was serious. The corporal did not look to be joking, so Steiger said nothing, unclenching his hands. "In the wilds, we started a few fires to flush our enemy out of the trees and bramble," Varys said, as a fresh gust of wind carried thick, choking smoke their way. Steiger and Varys took a step back. "Of course, the trick is you have to watch which way the wind is blowing before starting the fire, sir." "The wind is blowing our way," Steiger said unhappily. "It is," Varys said. "We just need to move farther south, is all, before the flames catch up to us, sir. With how dry things are, that fire will climb the ridge and sweep over the top. We will be forced south, and maybe a little to the east, judging by the wind." "We need to go west." Steiger seethed with frustration. He kicked at a dried pile of leaves that had fallen on the forest floor, scattering them. "Sometimes life gives you sour grapes, sir," Varys said. "It's what I think they made cheap wine with." Steiger glared at Varys, then deflated as his anger left him in a rush. Steiger rubbed his eyes a moment, not quite believing his poor luck. Fortune was a fickle bitch, and the gods were clearly toying with him today. Steiger let go a breath. He had to work with the poor dice that had been handed to him. There was no point in raging further. "Where is Tiro?"
"Sleeping, sir," Varys said, pointing to where the sergeant was slumped against a tree, surrounded by dozing legionaries. "I was about to wake him."
Steiger shot a quick glance around at his men. Nearly everyone was asleep. The heavily loaded mules had been secured to trees. Not liking the cloying stench of smoke, the mules fidgeted about, stamping their hooves and braying, but surprisingly did not pull at their ropes. Only Bren and Varys were awake, and had clearly been standing watch. Steiger wrapped his bread and cheese back up in the towel before dropping the bundle into his empty haversack. "Wake the company," Steiger ordered curtly. "Everyone gets some food. Then we set off. They can eat on the move."
"Yes, sir," Varys said.
Steiger moved over to Tiro and shook the veteran's shoulder.
"On your feet," Varys called out harshly from behind. "Up, you lovely bastards. Nap time's over. Come on. Get on your feet."
"Sir,"
Tiro blinked several times, focusing on Steiger.
"I don't recall giving you permission to loaf all morning," Varys called, kicking at a legionary who had not moved. "You join the infantry, not the bloody navy. Get on your feet before you make me angry."
Tiro reached out an arm, and Steiger pulled him to his feet. All around them, groaning men were dragging themselves up.
"The fire is climbing up the ridge," Steiger said.
"That's not good," Tiro said, stretching.
Another cloud of smoke blew around them. Both Tiro and Steiger coughed. It passed. They could now plainly hear the crackling fire.
"The wind has picked up," Steiger said. "It's helping to fan the flames our way. I don't think we will be able to skirt the valley like I planned and avoid the fire. We have 30 to 40 minutes before the flames reach our position."
"Perhaps I was a little hasty suggesting we rest, sir."
Tiro cast a worried look in the direction of the valley.
"No," Steiger said. "You were right. The company was blown, and so was I. We had to stop."
"In the wilds," Tiro said, "I've had the misfortune to be in the middle of a forest fire, and it ain't a good place to be. What do you want to do, sir?"
"How far do you reckon it is to the road? A quarter mile to a half, maybe a little more?"
Tiro's forehead creased.
"Are you thinking of taking it now?"
"I am," Stagger said. "If we continue south and stay in the forest, our pace will be slowed and the fire may catch up to us."
"You're hoping to reach the road," Tiro said, "then follow it and gain ground on the fire."
"Once on the road, we should be able to outpace the fire," Stagger said.
"We march hard on the road a dozen or more miles south, and then cut west into the forest and move back towards the third. That is, assuming we can outrace the fire."
"It makes sense to me, sir," Tiro said with a glance in the direction of the valley, where thick clouds of smoke, driven by a gust of wind, were billowing up into the brightening sky. A loud crash signified the falling of a tree somewhere downslope. This was almost immediately followed by a roaring of flame, the tops of which they could see. "Perhaps we should get a move on."
"Bren,"
Stagger called the scout over.
"Go along the ridge," he pointed. "Find the road and determine if the enemy is there. We're going to use the road to outpace the fire."
"If it is clear of the enemy, sir," Bren said, "do you want me to wait for you or continue south on the road?"
"Yes, wait for us," Stagger said. "Aronis can go forward after that."
"I can keep going, sir,"
Bren protested, a pained expression on his craggy face.
"I am sure you can," Stagger said. "But I will need you later when we plunge back into the forest. Better to have you fresh, eh? Now go on and get going. We don't have much time."
"Yes, sir," Bren said, and started off, in moments disappearing into the trees.
"Form up!"
Stagger shouted. Another tree cracked loudly as it went down. The roaring of the fire grew louder.
"Form up!"
Chapter 6.
"How are you?"
Stagger asked, kneeling next to the litter.
He almost sighed with relief at being able to rest. His legs not only burned, but shook slightly.
"Tolerable, sir," Legionary Cavius said, sweat beading on his brow.
His arm had been removed and he wore only his tunic. Cavius was clearly in a lot of pain and struggled to conceal it from his superior. He trembled as if it were cold. The litter he rested upon was a makeshift affair, constructed using two tent poles and heavy waterproof canvas hastily cut from a tent. Cavius's litter had been dragged behind one of the mules. Since the company had stopped for an extended break, the litter had been detached and laid on the ground, providing the wounded legionary a break from the uncomfortable jostling and bouncing that Stagger was sure had been an agonizing experience.
"Tiro says your wound was a clean cut," Stagger said, patting Cavius on the shoulder.
A bandage was tied tightly around the left leg. Blood had seeped through to stain the outer side.
"He assures me you should be back up and on your feet in no time."
"As soon as the sergeant lets me, sir," Cavius said. "Being hauled along like this is not all it's cracked up to be, but it sure beats being left behind."
"I'd not leave you or anyone else," Stagger said.
"I appreciate that, sir. I saw what the enemy did to the prisoners," Cavius said. He nodded over to the left. 7 freed auxiliaries were just a few feet away. Like everyone else, they were exhausted and run down. Bruises and black eyes were evidence of their time spent in captivity. Stiger's gaze lingered upon the 7. After being liberated, each had retrieved his chainmail armor and an assortment of weapons. 4 had armed themselves with bows and short swords. The other 3 carried only swords and small round shields. Stiger's eyes roved along the road, where the company was strung out on both sides. Men had dropped to the ground. Most had fallen into an instant sleep. A few sat and ate, looking despondent with exhaustion. Corporal Varys was moving down from the front of the column, checking the mules to make sure the supplies were secure and the animals tethered. Sergeant Tiro was farther down the road, speaking with Bren. A moment later, Bren gave a firm nod and set off scouting ahead.
"All the more reason to leave no one behind," Stagger said, turning back to Cavius.
"Yes, sir."
"Focus on rest and healing," Stagger said.
Ash began to fall again like snow. Stagger coughed, throat dry and hoarse from the smoke. He had pushed his company hard, trying to gain as much ground as possible on the blaze. At the pace he had set, Stagger figured they were now several miles from the fire. At least, he hoped so. An ugly pall of smoke hung overhead, obscuring the sun and creating near-twilight conditions. Stagger looked off to the west and into the trees. Had he felt confident enough, he would have plunged into the forest. However, judging from the ash fall, the fire behind them was growing in scope and intensity. He felt a need to put some serious distance between himself and the blaze before turning west. The only way to accomplish that was to march hard along the road. With luck, the enemy was behind them and not in front. "I want you to focus on getting better," Steiger said, making an effort to reinforce his earlier statement. "No pushing it. Just lie back and enjoy the ride. You will be marching along with the rest of us soon enough." "Yes, sir," Gavius replied, as if Steiger had given him an order, which, in effect, he had. Steiger squeezed Gavius on the shoulder before standing. His legs protested, and it took effort to keep from groaning. Steiger strode over to where the auxiliaries were resting alongside the road, clustered about the trunk of an old tree. One saw him approaching and made to stand. Steiger waved him and the others back down. "Do you men need anything?" Steiger asked the auxiliaries. "No, sir," one of the men said as the others shook their heads. "We're just grateful you rescued us." "What's your name?"
"Ubid," the man said.
"What unit were you with?"
"The 6th Hannish Cohort," Ubid said. "We was light infantry, sir."
"I see," Steiger said.
"I would appreciate you telling me what happened. How did you come into the hands of the enemy?"
Ubid glanced nervously around and swallowed before working up the nerve to speak. Steiger well understood the man's concern. An entire auxiliary cohort had been lost, complete with her standards. The punishment for losing a standard was severe and could result in the execution of any survivors. Before they departed, Tira had ordered a search of the enemy's camp. It had proven fruitless.
"We was captured, sir," Ubid said. "Farms were being raided by bandits about 10 miles north of the garrison. A few families were burnt out. The captain marched the cohort to chase them off. We thought nothing of it at the time. Well, we was ambushed right and good by the Riven."
"Sir," one of the other auxiliaries stood.
"There was no warning. They attacked us on the road in a heavily forested area. They hit from both sides at once. It was a slaughter. Our cohort never stood a chance, sir."
"What's your name?"
"Durgo, sir."
Steiger was silent a moment as he considered what they had told him.
"I am curious," Steiger said. "Can you tell me, how did the fort fall? Surely your captain left the reserve. He would not have taken the entire cohort with him when he marched, would he?"
"I don't know how the fort fell, sir," Durgo said. "Lieutenant Agger was left behind with 40 men as a garrison."
Steiger's eyes narrowed as he looked from face to face. Each shook his head in turn.
"Did you see Agger being held prisoner?" Steiger said, eager to hear what they had to say on the subject. "Or his body?"
"No, sir," Durgo said.
Steiger felt himself frown.
"How about any of the men who were left with him?"
Durgo glanced around at his companions and then back at Steiger.
"No, sir. We didn't see them, nor even their bodies, which is strange now that you mention it."
"So," Steiger said, thinking it through out loud, "they may have escaped then."
"It is possible, sir," Durgo said, "though I doubt they would get far if they did hoof it."
"Why do you say that?"
"Well, a force of enemy cavalry rode through the valley the day you attacked and rescued us," Durgo said. "We were being held outside. I saw them as they rode by and counted, around 100 strong."
"You mean cavalry is ahead of us on this road?"
Durgo gave a nod.
"The scouts," Steiger said, thinking back to Bren's report, "have seen no evidence of a large body of cavalry, or for that matter even infantry, using this road."
In fact, the more Steiger thought on it, if Agger had abandoned his post and fled, he had not taken this road. Bren and Darinus would have seen evidence of their exodus. They must have gone elsewhere, or been killed when the Riven Company had taken possession of the fort. It was possible that the rescued auxiliaries had simply not seen their bodies.
"They might have taken the road to the Beckett plantation," Ubid said.
"That could have been where they went," Durgo nodded in agreement.
"Where is that?" Steiger asked. He could not recall seeing any other roads on the map.
"A mile to that way," Durgo pointed, and swung his arm around in an arc. "It starts at the western end of the valley and goes for 5 or 6 miles, then wraps around and connects to this here road farther up a ways. The Beckett plantation is off of it."
"I take it the plantation is a large one."
"Aye, sir," Durgo said. "Largest in the region,
with over 200 slaves. Occasionally we're called upon to chase down those that up and run off. Steiger was silent as he absorbed this, pleased with the information he had learned so far. Tell me about the enemy army.
What army?
Dogo's forehead scrunched up. The Riven army marching this way. Steiger was surprised they had not heard of it yet, even from his own men.
We did not know,
Dogo said, looking suddenly nervous. The enemy didn't say anything to us, only asked us questions. Steiger changed the subject.
Can you use those bows?
He gestured at one leaning against the trunk of the tree.
Yes, sir.
Dogo picked up the weapon as if it were an old friend. These are our bows. The enemy took them when we were captured. You show me an enemy you want dead, and I will shoot him for you.
Steiger turned at the crunch of footsteps behind him and saw Tiro.
Steiger looked over the auxiliaries again, and then at his men, resting along both sides of the road. Thanks to the late Captain Carthagus, the 7th was a shadow of her former strength.
Sergeant, Steiger said to Tiro, have these men entered into the company books?
Yes, sir.
Tiro turned to the auxiliaries, flashing a broad smile.
Welcome to the 7th, you maggots.
Truly?
Dogo seemed shocked, almost as if he had not heard correctly.
You're making us all legionaries?
No punishment, sir?
Ubid asked, a guarded yet hopeful expression crossing his face.
No punishment, Steiger said. When you complete your service, you will be entitled to Mull Zealand citizenship.
Thank you, sir,
Dogo said, which was immediately followed by an enthusiastic chorus from the others. We won't let you down, none.
I expect not.
Work hard and serve the Empire to the best of your ability, Steiger said. In return, I promise I will be fair with you in my dealings. He gave them a parting nod and stepped away. Tiro followed.
Being auxiliaries and all, they may not be up for it, Tiro said, once they were out of hearing.
Most auxiliary cohorts don't have our standards.
Yes,
Steiger said, stifling a yawn. I know, but we're incredibly short-handed. No replacements were available before we marched. I'd be foolish to pass up 7 healthy, able-bodied men.
Aye, sir, Tiro said. Varys and I will whip them into shape.
Don't you doubt that.
They said that cavalry passed through the valley yesterday. Steiger came to a stop. Apparently there is another road to the west that connects with this one somewhere ahead. It leads to a large plantation. They may be ahead of us.
Cavalry to the front and fire to the rear, Tiro said, expelling a breath.
Screwed if you do, even more screwed if you don't.
Now things have been going, that should be our motto, sir.
Steiger felt himself frown at that. The auxiliaries told me they were ambushed to the north of the valley, and that a force was left behind at the fort, under command of Lieutenant Agger, Steiger said. They saw no sign of him or his men, as they were brought back as prisoners.
Is that the same Agger we were sent to fetch?
Yes, Steiger said.
Did you see an officer amongst the dead auxiliaries when you looked about?
Not that I could tell, Tiro said. I'd recall if I saw an officer's tunic.
A strong gust of wind blew through the trees, bending limbs and rustling leaves. The falling ash and smoke swirled around them. In the distance, there was the distinct low grumble of thunder.
Well, Tiro said, brightening, looks like rain might be coming. Perhaps it will slow down the fire a bit, even put it out.
If it does, Steiger said, the enemy army may be on the move soon after.
Always looking on the bright side of things, sir,
Tiro said with a grin. Aren't you?
Weren't you just the one who said our new motto should be screwed if you do and more screwed if you don't?
Aye, sir, Tiro said.
That I did.
Steiger chuckled.
Give the men another 10 minutes, Steiger said. Then we push on and hope the rain holds off.
Chapter 7 Lightning flashed across the sky, illuminating the rain-slashed night. The trees, cultivated fields, and 3 farm buildings were in view for a fraction of a moment, and then gone. Steiger lay prone in the grass, the rain pouring down around him. Wren was to his right, and Tiro to his left. Not only was Steiger exhausted, but he was thoroughly soaked through and utterly miserable.
They're in that big barn there, sir.
Wren pointed as a gust blew the rain nearly sideways. The officer seems to have taken the house for himself. Another flash of lightning illuminated the structure. The barn was large, though the accompanying farmhouse was surprisingly small, modest even.
Steiger wiped rain from his face with a muddy hand and tried to make out their surroundings a little better. They were just over a mile off the road. The small farm was tucked neatly into the forest, a ways beyond the road that led to the Beckett plantation, perhaps a couple of miles back.
"How long have you been watching?"
Steiger had to raise his voice a little to be heard over the rain, wind, and thunder.
"About an hour," Brent said.
"Where are their sentries?" Tiro asked.
"Near as I can tell, there are none," Brent said.
"It's so nasty out, I think they all went inside." Lightning flashed again. Thunder followed shortly after. I crept up to the house and peered in the window. Seems only an officer and a sergeant. The rest of the troop is in the barn, staying dry and being lazy.
"Did you see the family that lives here?"
Steiger hoped they still lived, but was fairly sure the Riven Cavalry troop had killed them, like they had done to the residents of Cora Toll. The thought angered him.
"Sir," Tiro said, "we need to get the men out of the rain."
"I know."
Steiger was silent a moment as he thought, before rolling to his side and facing Tiro.
"Think the men have enough left in them for another fight?"
"Aye, sir," Tiro said. "They may be miserable, wet, and exhausted, but the bastards will fight if we tell them that barn there is the only place that's dry for miles around."
"Right then," Steiger said, and turned back to Bren. "How many do you think there are in the barn?"
20, Bren said, "at most."
"Okay." Steiger rubbed his chin. "That's not too bad. How many entrances to the barn?"
2 sliding doors on either end, and a smaller door in the middle on this side."
Bren pointed. In the darkness, Steiger could not make it out. He took the scout's word for it.
"It'll be nice to catch those cavalry bastards off their horses," Tiro said. "It's time we gave them a little payback for what was done to the captain and the rest of the boys."
Steiger nodded in agreement. "The bulk of the company will assault the barn," Steiger said. "Tiro, you and Varus lead them. I will take 5 men and handle the farmhouse. I want that officer alive."
"Bren," Tiro said, "you stick with the lieutenant and make sure nothing happens to him or you answer to me. Got that?"
"Yes, Sergeant."
Steiger pulled himself to his feet. Hunched over, he worked his way back to the men, who waited a few yards away. Tiro and Bren followed. Orders were tersely passed about. The mules were left in the care of a handful of men, while the rest of the company moved forward. The rain was coming down in sheets, and much heavier than before, as Steiger led his 5 men to the house. One of the men with him lost his footing and slipped, landing heavily in the mud. Steiger helped him up as lightning illuminated the area in another flash. The crash of thunder followed several heartbeats later. Steiger froze, glancing at the windows, just steps away, soft orange light emanating from within. He hoped no one was watching. Steiger pulled his sword out. The others did the same. Hunched over, he crept up to the window. The glass was of poor quality, but he was able to peer through. A solitary man sat at a table with his feet up, wearing only a service tunic. The man had his back to the window and appeared to be dozing. Steiger could not see where his armor was, nor his sword. A nice-sized fire was burning in the hearth off to the man's left. Steiger could see no one else, though there was a closed door that led to another room. He ducked down and moved up to the door. Bren had his hand on the latch. Their eyes met. Steiger held up 3 fingers, prepared to count down silently. 3, 2, 1. Bren lifted the hatch and yanked open the door. Steiger moved rapidly through. The man at the table started and turned, eyes going wide. Steiger was across the room in a flash. His sword point hovered at the man's throat. Steiger's enemy had gone very still, eyes traveling from the sword up to Steiger's face. Steiger flashed him a pleased grin and held a finger to his lips. The man nodded in understanding. Bren stepped forward and removed the enemy's sword, which lay upon the table. From behind the door, there came a strangled scream, then what sounded like a slap, followed by something said in a harsh tone. Steiger motioned to Bren to cover the man at the table, and then stepped to the door. He threw it open. The hinges, badly in need of an oiling, creaked. He found himself in a bedroom. On the bed lay a naked man atop a woman. The man looked up in anger, which rapidly turned to astonishment, then fear. He rolled off the woman and moved toward his sword, which rested in a scabbard in the corner.
Go for it, Steiger said, stepping closer and lowering his sword to the man's chest. Anger coursed through his veins. Go on, you bastard. Go for it. See what happens.
I surrender, the naked man said in slightly accented common. He held his hands up. I surrender.
Steiger motioned with his sword for the man to move to the foot of the bed. He did as bid. One of Steiger's men came into the room, sword drawn.
Get him out of here.
Yes, sir.
The legionary grabbed the naked man by the hair, eliciting a yelp of pain. He dragged him through the doorway and out into the other room. Steiger turned to the woman, who had curled up into a ball on the bed. She shook violently as she warily eyed him. Steiger took a deep breath and lowered his sword. He cast about the room. A single oil lantern burned on a shelf. Under it was a discarded dress. He stepped over and tossed it to her, but she made no move to grab it.
It is all right, he said to her, sheathing his sword. I am Lieutenant Steiger, 7th Company, 3rd Legion. That bastard won't harm you again, I swear.
She said nothing, just shivered on the bed. Steiger considered going to her and offering what comfort he could, but then changed his mind. He had to find out how the fight in the barn had gone.
Bren, Steiger called.
Sir?
Bren stepped into the room. He eyed the terrified woman for a moment before sucking in a deep breath.
Secure those bastards, Steiger said, and care for her.
Yes, sir.
Satisfied, Steiger made his way out of the house. He stepped out into the rain and to the barn. He encountered a legionary standing in the downpour just before the door. He had clearly been posted there as a sentry. By the man's relaxed stance, Steiger realized the assault was over. His men had won. He made his way into the barn, which was hot from the press of bodies, including animals. There were at least 20 horses inside, and all were unsettled. One whinnied and kicked at the wall in wild panic, while a legionary attempted to calm it. The sweet, sickly smell of blood was on the air. Several legionaries stood aside as Steiger entered. He stopped and looked around, carefully surveying the interior of the barn. It was a scene of chaos and carnage. Bodies lay scattered across the straw-covered floor amidst the animal shit.
Sir, Tiro said, coming up, the barn is secure. How did it go in the house?
2 prisoners, Steiger said. 1 woman rescued, though I fear her virtue is not intact.
Tira got the message, and his face hardened.
Casualties? Steiger asked.
We got lucky, Tira said. 2 light injuries, 1 shallow cut on an arm, and the other across the cheek.
Tira paused and made a show of studying Steiger's face.
Not as glamorous as yours, sir.
Prisoners?
3.
Tira jerked a thumb at where 3 men knelt with their hands behind their heads. We've already put the injured out of their misery.
Those horses make this a nice catch, Steiger said, eyes roving the barn.
They do, don't they? Some good prize money, I'm sure.
Sir, Varys came up. There was a hard look to his face. You need to see this.
Steiger and Tiro followed Varys out of the barn and back into the rain. The corporal led them around the far side to 3 bodies. 1 man and 2 young boys. Steiger knelt before the man. Lightning flashed, illuminating the grisly scene. The man looked as if he had been thoroughly beaten before he was killed. The children appeared to have been tortured as well. Steiger felt a deep sadness mixed with a weary exhaustion wash over him. When he had started out to join the legions, he had naively imagined glorious charges and victorious battlefields. Not this. These poor people had not deserved what fortune had thrown their way, nor had the people of Khor Atoll. He felt a surge of renewed rage. War was far uglier than he had ever imagined. Kneeling in the mud, he bowed his head and said a brief prayer to the High Father, commending these 3 souls into the great God's keeping. He spared a look at the 2 little boys. They could be no older than 7. Blowing out a long breath, he stood and turned to Tiro and Varys.
See that they are buried, Steiger ordered. Voice harsh and cold. I will tell the mother that her children and husband are dead.
He paused, his throat catching. I don't want her seeing this.
Aye, sir, Tiro said. We will take care of it.
What about the prisoners?
Varys said.
Steiger was silent for a moment as he considered their fate. He glanced at the bodies and ground his teeth in frustration.
We questioned them, then put the bastards to death.
Are you sure, sir? Tiro asked.
Yes, Steiger said. He turned to Varys, drag all of the bodies out of the barn, bring the mule train inside, set a watch well away from the barn and house. I don't want to be surprised like these fools were. The men can sleep till morning.
Yes, sir,
Varys said. Steiger looked over at the bodies, eyes lingering upon the small, dark shapes of the children. After a moment, he stepped away, moving around the side of the barn. When he was fully around the corner and away from the others, he fell to his knees and retched, emptying the contents of his stomach. Tears pricked at his already wet face, and he cried for the two children. When he had joined the legions, he never imagined such senseless horror. Steiger felt a hand upon his shoulder. He stiffened and glanced back.
"Are you all right, sir?"
Tiro asked, voice gruff.
Lightning flashed across the sky, and Steiger could read the concern on the sergeant's face.
"Are you injured, sir?"
"No, I'm fine," Steiger said.
"The children..."
"War ain't pretty," Tiro said. "Not for us soldiers, and especially not for civilians. Best to remember that, sir."
Tiro reached down and helped him to his feet. Steiger's legs shook from exhaustion and strain.
"I suppose it's not," Steiger said, and sucked in a deep, shuddering breath. He wiped his mouth and stiffened his spine. "War is nothing like I thought it was."
"No," Tiro said. "War brings out the worst in people, but it also brings out the best. In comrades, that is, sir."
Steiger held the sergeant's gaze for a prolonged moment, nodded, then turned away and started for the house. Tiro followed. A legionary stood out in front on sentry duty, eyes watchful. Steiger stepped past him and entered. The two prisoners sat at the table. Three legionaries stood around them, swords drawn. The naked man had been permitted to don his tunic.
"Name?"
Steiger demanded as he entered. Tiro shut the door.
"Lieutenant Creef, 2nd Horse Regiment,"
the man Steiger had found in his bedroom announced. There was not a trace of fear in his tone, which infuriated Steiger.
"And yours, sir?"
"Steiger."
"Steiger? Hmm," Creef said. "I know that name."
"Ah, yes, I do. Your father is a general, I think. A bloody general, if I recall, yes?"
"Who my father is matters not," Steiger said, and took a step nearer the other officer.
He was angered at Creef's relaxed manner. Steiger turned to the other seated at the table. This man looked back at him with wary eyes.
"And what is your name?"
The other man said nothing, but instead glanced to Creef.
"He does not speak your common tongue," Creef said, a hint of disdain in his voice.
"That is Sergeant Sig, and he is as odious as his brain is small."
Steiger shared a glance with Tiro before turning back to Creef.
"Why are you here?"
Creef had the gall to bark out a laugh, which irritated Steiger further. The legionary standing behind Creef cuffed the enemy officer on the back of the head.
"The lieutenant asked you a question, scum."
"How dare you lay a hand on me?" Creef screamed at him in outrage. "You common lout! I will have you know I am the Lord General's son!"
Steiger held up a hand to stop Creef from being struck again. The legionary took a step back.
"And who is this Lord General?"
Steiger asked, though he suspected it was the commander of the enemy army.
"My father, of course," Creef said.
Steiger let out a long breath before turning to look upon the enemy sergeant and contemplating the man for a few heartbeats.
"Tiro, have Sergeant Sick here placed with the other prisoners."
"Yes, sir."
Tiro nodded and gestured to two men. The sergeant was hauled to his feet and led out into the rain. When the door closed, Steiger turned back to Creef, who had placed his feet up on the table and was reclining his chair back. He seemed to be enjoying himself. The smug look on his face irritated Steiger immensely.
"Lieutenant Creef,"
Steiger said slowly as he untied the straps to his helmet.
"You seem to be under the mistaken impression that your rank somehow protects you."
Steiger removed his helmet and placed it on the table as Creef's eyes narrowed.
I can assure you. It doesn't, Steiger said, as he moved slowly around the table to stand next to Kreef. The other's eyes followed him. Steiger could read a flicker of doubt in them.
You wouldn't dare touch me, Kreef said loftily, placing his hands behind his head as he leaned back farther on the chair. My father!
Steiger kicked the chair out from under him. Kreef landed with a crash on the floor. Before he could recover, Steiger reached down and grabbed the front of Kreef's tunic, hauled him up, and slammed his fist into the man's face. Steiger punched him again and felt the nose crunch under the blow.
Do you still believe I won't touch you?
Steiger roared at him, thoroughly enraged.
Do you? My father will...
Steiger hit him again.
Will what?
Steiger demanded.
Come on, tell me what your daddy will do to me.
Dazed, Kreef's eyes rolled.
Sir.
Thoroughly enraged, Steiger looked over at Tiro. If you continue to knock him senseless, Tiro said, we won't be able to properly question him now, will we? Steiger glanced over at his fist, which was raised and ready to continue the pummeling. He looked back on the bloodied face of his enemy. It had felt good to hit this arrogant fop. He took a deep breath that shuddered a little. Tiro was right. Steiger released Kreef, who collapsed to the floor in a heap. Steiger's rage left him. His hand began to hurt, and he shook it a little before turning to the last remaining legionary.
Take this raping piece of shit from my sight.
Aye, sir, the man said, and dragged Kreef bodily out into the rain. Tiro untied the straps of his own helmet and placed it on the table next to Steiger's.
Feel better?
Tiro asked, shutting the door.
A little,
Steiger said, suddenly feeling drained and worn out, like an old dish rag. Tiro picked up the chair and set it back on its feet. Steiger watched as the old sergeant threw another log onto the fire.
You need some sleep, sir, Tiro said. You're exhausted.
We all do, Steiger said, and turned toward the door to the bedroom. He could hear whimpering coming from the other side. Varys and I will see to the men in the questioning, Tiro said. Will the lieutenant do me a great favor and get some sleep? Steiger turned his weary gaze upon Tiro. I have one more task to complete before I can, Steiger said, and started for the door, preparing to inform the young woman in the next room that she was now a widow. Worse, he dreaded passing on the news about her children.
What about Kreef? Tiro asked.
What about him?
Do we kill him with the rest?
Steiger wanted desperately to say yes, but then shook his head. General Treem would want Kreef. If he is as important as he thinks he is, Steiger said, he has value to the enemy. We will bring him back with us. Question him thoroughly, and make sure you keep him alive.
Yes, sir, Tiro said, before his eyes traveled to the door. I could tell the lady.
No, Steiger said with a heavy breath. I will do it. Steiger opened the door and found the young woman in the corner of the room crying. She was still naked. Though he wanted to do anything but, Steiger steeled himself to give the most devastating news that anyone could possibly give another.
Chapter 8 Steiger closed the door behind him. The ground out in front of the house was wet and muddy. A few scattered strands of grass littered the farmyard. The sentry standing just to the side of the door stiffened to attention and saluted. At ease, Steiger said, stretching out his back. Did you get much sleep, Tig?
According to Sergeant Tiro, I got plenty, sir, Tig replied, relaxing a fraction. When he woke me, he told me sleep is overrated.
That sounds like Tiro, Steiger chuckled.
Well, I'm sure you got enough, then.
If you say so, sir.
Steiger wore only his service tunic, and it felt good to have left his armor in the house. He gazed around the farmyard. The rain had slackened considerably an hour ago. Now it was coming down in a steady drizzle. The sky was thick with low-hanging cloud cover. Steiger glanced back at the house, which was well constructed and maintained, but very modest. The barn a few yards away was overly large, but also well built. The farmer had obviously taken pride in his work, for everything appeared well cared for and orderly. Even the four cords of wood along the barn's wall were stacked neatly. There was a small fenced-in pasture off to his left, enough for a handful of animals,
A good-sized field with wheat ready for harvest was to the right. Part of the field had been given over to potatoes. A vegetable garden stretched out to the left of the house, in which Steiger could see tomatoes, lettuce, and melons. It looked like there were even beans. Judging by what he saw, the farm would have been more than enough to sustain the family. Any excess would have likely been sold to those living in Cora Toll, perhaps even to the garrison. Tucked deep into the forest, the farm was a peaceful setting. The farmer had chosen a nice spot. It was almost perfect, but for the arrival of the Riven. Steiger let out a heavy breath. The enemy had forever shattered the peace of this place. Mood darkening, he started off for the barn, careful to avoid the puddles as he made his way across the farmyard. There was work to be done. A sentry stood in front of the barn, and two others by the trail, which led into the forest and ultimately connected with the main road. Steiger was heartened by their presence and watchfulness. As he stepped through the door, he nodded to the sentry, who stiffened to attention. The barn was surprisingly warm. The close proximity of so many of his legionaries, coupled with the animals, generated more heat than the fire had in the house. Steiger took a moment to survey the interior of the barn. Most of his men were still sleeping. Varys was up and about. Tiro was sleeping just a few feet away, snoring contentedly. The old sergeant looked almost peaceful, nothing like the hardened veteran Steiger knew him to be. Steiger caught Varys's eye and motioned the man over. "How you feeling, sir?" Varys said in a low tone, so as not to disturb those sleeping. "Well enough," Steiger said, stifling a yawn. "You?"
"Possible, sir."
"Thank you for letting me sleep," Steiger said. "I think I managed at least 6 hours, but truth be told, I'm still bone tired."
"You needed it, sir. We're all done in," Varys said. "A few days of catch-up is all we need. Then we will be right as rain."
Steiger nodded as he ran his eyes once more about. He had seen his men asleep dozens of times, and yet suddenly he felt moved. The men in this barn had become dear to him. He recognized that now. Though they were mostly uneducated and without culture, he had long since stopped seeing them as mere pawns to be used and discarded in the furtherance of his career. Tyr and Varys had helped show him that. Steiger nodded to himself. These men had gone through terrible trials and tests with him, perhaps even for him. They would march where he asked them to go, even if death waited at day's end. They were his men, and he was their officer. He had come to love Seventh Company. It made what he was about to ask of them more difficult than he had imagined possible. "Sleep is one commodity I don't think we're going to get much of," Steiger said, throat catching slightly. He took a moment to clear it. "We need to get a move on. That rain likely extinguished the fire. The enemy will soon be on the move, and I have no doubt they will be looking for us, especially after all that we've done."
"Aye," Varys said, with a slow nod. "When do you want to leave, sir?"
"Soon," Steiger said, and then eyed Varys.
"You questioned the prisoners?"
"Yes, sir," Varys said.
"Just after Tiro had checked in with you, we did it away from the farm."
Tiro had woken Steiger just before dawn and suggested that they take advantage of the inclement weather to allow the men to sleep in for a few more hours. Steiger had agreed and gone back to sleep. While he had gotten in those last precious hours, Steiger now understood that Tiro and Varys had been working over the prisoners.
"I wish you'd woken me for that."
"You needed the sleep more than most, sir," Varys said. "You've been pushing yourself hard, sir. Besides, that's no job for a proper officer." Steiger did not like that they had tried to shield him. "Next time," Steiger said, adding a firm undertone, "you will make sure I am there. Understand my meaning?"
"Aye, sir," Varys said. "I do."
"Good," Steiger said. "Learn anything?"
"Yes, sir," Varys said. "We did."
Steiger saw Tiro stir. The sergeant opened his eyes and looked in their direction. Tiro stretched and then pulled himself to his feet. He walked stiffly over to the two of them, cracking his neck as he came.
"Good morning, sir," Tiro said cheerfully.
"More like early afternoon," Steiger said, suspecting that the sergeant already knew this.
"Really?"
Tiro said, and made a show of glancing out the open door behind Steiger.
"I would have never guessed it, sir. Must have overslept."
Steiger tired of the game.
Varys here was telling me that you got something